I used to have tools in place, how to do the batching or how to introduce the DTLDs in a fair way for out of stability reason or fair for the applicants and all these kind of things. This is very, very important. And hopefully we're going to have some, or we're going to have some system that's going to work. But I think it's equally important, and this is also something that I have said several times before, that we have some tools, actually, if it is the case, we will have some problem. It could be a stability, technical problems. It could be administrative issues or whatever. But we need to have tools in place to be able to stop the process or slow down the process or monitor the process or whatever needs to be done. If it is the case, we need some problems. And of course, we need to have the evaluation to be able to detect these issues. And this system or mechanism I don't feel confident about this. I would like to have more information about this before everything starts in the reality. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that, Sweden. I have Australia next, please.
Thank you. And I guess I'll start where my colleague from Sweden finished, which is more information. So to pick up, I'm going to follow on from my previous comment, and thank you very much, Chris, and to others who've clarified that the two issues are administrative sort of operational capacity for ICANN and rate limiting. And some sort of prioritisation potentially to assist with that rate limiting. But I'm interested first in whether rate limiting is needed, I guess is my question. Like, I don't feel I have enough information to understand whether ICANN needs to intervene to rate limit. I understand rate limiting is needed in terms of the route, but whether ICANN needs to actively rate limit. So as I understand it, assuming if there was a single batch or a single assessment process, once that's finalised, there are then a series of steps which go between that and any delegations. And it's not clear to me in that phase, which I think in the guidebook is called the transition to delegation, there are a number of steps that happen, whether it's likely that applicants will be separated naturally, whether there are contract negotiation steps where the applicants need to do various things which are within their control as opposed to ICANN's control forcing some kind of prioritisation or rate limiting, whether there is going to be some sort of natural prioritisation from the applicant side. I don't understand, so it's simply a question.
Thank you for that, Australia. So I see we're on the agenda item of batching and what are some of the options and considerations. Chris Despain, you were speaking to the batching issues.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Okay. So let me try and take you through the process. Firstly, the prioritisation is not the same as rate limiting, okay? So rate limiting is different. So what we're talking about at the moment is rate limiting. There are a number of for the purposes of this discussion, let us assume that there is no batch. Let us assume that it is a single batch. And what I'm trying to do is to give you a flavour for the considerations that we need to take into account, which include the questions that you've asked, because your questions are our questions. So if you assume that there's a single batch, there are a number of built-in rate limiters that already exist. So you get to the point of initial evaluation. You finish initial evaluation. Initial evaluation splits the numbers into a small number of groups. There are those who pass. There are those who have gone off to extended evaluation. And there may be some who have got clarifying questions and for some reason they haven't been dealt with yet or answered or whatever. But ignore that one. It's effectively two. Fail, which is extended evaluation, and pass. So that's your first limit, is because the extended evaluation ones are going off somewhere. There's also the contention set ones, of course, which go off into a separate little bucket over on the side of the room. Then you go through a process that culminates in the signing of the contract, In the applicant guidebook, it clearly states that contracts will be dealt with on a sort of first-in, first-served basis. So when you're ready, then that is another split, because there will be some parties who will wish to sign the contract as is, and that's fine. And then there will be some parties who will wish to negotiate the contract. So the negotiating contract parties go off into another side room somewhere. So now you're left with all of those who are happy to sign the standard contract. They're obliged to provide that contract signed with a lump of supporting documentation. Doesn't matter what it is for now. It all comes in. And the guidebook clearly states that contracts will be dealt with on a first-in basis. So contracts arrive. They're dealt with as they come in. Then they're sent back, signed. Quite clearly, there's a limit there, because there's only a certain number of contracts you can deal with in a day. There's only a certain number of contracts you can sign, and so on. They go back. Then there is the next question is, well, is everyone who gets their contract back going to immediately want to rush to delegation? Some of them will, some of them won't. So you have another inbuilt limit there. Those that do then have to go through a process. There's a technical testing process and a few other things that need to happen. If they're having services provided by a registry services provider, there are certain things the registry service provider will have to do. And then eventually you reach a point where there is a request for delegation. And the moment the request for delegation happens, it becomes an IANA matter. And the application for delegation goes into IANA, and then there's another rate limiter there, because IANA can only deal with a certain number of applications. And there is, in fact, a final rate limiter, which is that the process by which IANA delegates involves external parties who have to do some box ticking and a few other bits and pieces. So by the time you've gone through that whole process, so the question is all of that sufficient to cause enough rate limiting or not? Assuming you had a single batch. Now the reality is that most of that stuff that I've talked about is exactly the same whether you have a batch or you don't. It's just whether you're rate limiting a batch of 500 or you're rate limiting effectively a batch of 1,400. So that's in a nutshell. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Chris. And it certainly does answer my question. Look, I am no expert, but I would talk off the top of my head. It sounds like it would. there's a lot of splits, a lot of steps. There are some things where it's first come, first served already built into the system. It sounds like we're going to be dealing with 1,400 as a maximum after all the contended strings are dealt with. And from the delegation point of view, the target appears to be 1,000 per year. So with all those steps built in, I'd be frankly quite surprised if there was going to be 1,000 rushed within the same time frame. But perhaps, look, that's just my initial view. I would love to hear from experts, but if that's the case, then one of the reasons for having batching appears to disappear. And from my perspective, I think that would be good.
Thank you very much for that, Chris. I'm going to move further through the speaking order. So we have Portugal and UK.
I'm also going to speak in Portuguese.
Now it's the time for Portugal. I also want to express our satisfaction regarding the suspension of digital archery, independently of the reason why it was done. It is a process that is worse than a lottery. It is a process that does not guarantee anything, no equality. And a lottery would actually be a rather bad solution for a situation like this. But what I wanted to highlight is something different here. We heard the member of the board referring for safety and security reasons to the new GTLDs who should never be uploaded to the root simultaneously. And he even gave some examples of physical situations where this could not happen. And this is exactly true. This is an exact observation. But we need to focus our attention on the fact that we are talking about compliance and delays that are a bit different, and for technical reasons, perhaps in order for the uploading system in the route to function properly, and also the magnitude that is more related to the delays that result from the consideration of candidacies that are different, and so we have different batches. After considering the candidacies, the number of GTLDs will be uploaded to the routes. Probably the number of GTLDs will be lower than the ones that are mentioned in those candidacies. We have also heard what Chris Spen said, meaning that once a candidacy is approved, there are a number of administrative processes that need to happen so that we are in a condition to have a GTLD for a certain route. And as it happens with normal or common administrative processes, with the first-come, first-served process, if we have a problem with those candidacies, there will probably not be a technical difficulty that was referred to regarding uploading them to the route. So this leads us to consider the following. If with the additional information that we have, and with the candidacies that we received and that were submitted, which create a completely different situation from the situation we had from the very beginning, and that led us to have a process that would be experienced for the first time, if we reach the conclusion that a single batch would lead to an average delay in approving the candidacies, the applications, that is not excessive. If we're thinking of an average process and not of the applications that need to be approved, think of this. Think of the average. All the batches that are approved are not excessive. So I think there would be serious reasons to consider the possibility of organizing a single batch with the equality advantages that we would naturally have from this. I do not want to offend this system, but I think there are strong reasons to consider this possibility submitted here.
Thank you, Portugal. United Kingdom.
Thank you, Chair, and many thanks indeed to the Board GTLD Committee for joining us today. I think it's been, obviously, it's a very timely discussion we're having, and it's proving very fruitful and informative. I have a question, an expression of concern, and a suggestion. So I'll try and quickly go through those without taking up too much time. My question is the committee satisfied that the scenario planning that was undertaken before the round took into account the range of possibilities, including the one we've got now? And by that I mean the volume of applications, the range of types of applications, the extent of the involvement of brands, which is a significant factor here, I think, the high level of contention for certain strings. Because I'm getting the impression, this is a kind of comment backing onto that question, that really we seem to be sort of trying to work out a way forward now and you know, doing away with batching. You know, was that actually, you know, one of the scenarios that actually you didn't need to have a batching process, you didn't need digital archery? And, you know, maybe it was a matter of looking at sort of rate limitations, a very valid point, but, you know, maybe actually, you know, what we have now, the scenario we have now, the reality, actually could accommodate some, you know, judicious rate limitation. But anyway, my question is, are you satisfied that the scenario planning was effective and comprehensive enough to prevent the kind of turmoil and controversy that seems to be dogging us at the moment, which is very undesirable for ICANN and the impression that ICANN gives to the wider community? My concern, secondly, is not related to that. It's kind of related. Three European capital city applicants wrote to ICANN to express grave concern about digital archery. They felt they were being wholly disadvantaged by it. That includes Dot London, the applicants for Dot London, Mayor's Office of London. Prime Minister approved that application, and then we heard about digital archery, and then we heard about their concerns, that they would actually be squeezed out and relegated to a batch, you know, way down the track. And they wrote to you. I can't remember the exact date. I don't think they've had a reply, and I'm not sure the other two either have. Dr. Wien for Vienna and Dr. Berlin. They wrote in similar terms with grave expressions of concern. So my concern is that the communication doesn't seem to be very effective in actually responding to those particular proposals relating to capital cities. So I want to put that on record. Thirdly, now with regard to stakeholder participation from developing countries, I do think it was a kind of a catastrophic failure, because a lot of credibility of this process was hanging on that. And I talked about that in many fora that ICANN's got to deliver. And it's a particular failure because we've seen the successful rollout of national and regional multi-stakeholder internet governance fora across the world. Not everywhere, I must admit, but if you look at Africa, it's pretty comprehensive. You've got regional internet governance fora throughout Africa. And there you've got a ready channel of access to business stakeholders, to communities, to cultural, local advocates and communities for those, and to governments, of course. So I think that you may have missed an opportunity there, which was staring you right in the face, because I know ICANN has been engaged in quite a lot of internet governance for activity. So I'm turning that into a suggestion for the second round. Really look to those ready channels of communication where you've got stakeholders, communities, all coming together. I hope that's a helpful suggestion for the way forward in re-establishing the credibility of this initiative for the global community. And we've, UK and many others around this table, have been talking about that expectation for a long time, and we're severely disappointed. And that's why I think it is a catastrophic failure. Thank you.
Thank you, UK. Indeed, the point about credibility is an important one. Shireen, would you like to reply to that?
I think Mark's question is about was there a comprehensive scenario analysis? That was the question. I don't know if anyone of my colleagues would like to take that question. Mike?
Thank you. Mark, you started off going through scenarios, each of which we had covered within the board and with staff over time. You then continued elaborating on scenarios which were getting into such a level of detail that, no, we hadn't contemplated every single scenario that could have been, but we certainly looked at scenarios that are quite similar to what we're looking at now. The reason why I use rate limitation rather than batching was a modality of rate limitation that was suggested, and our chairman made a comment a little earlier that I'd like to repeat. 1,000 in a year is not a commitment to take at the beginning of the year a batch of 1,000, dump them into the route, and then spend the rest of the year sitting and watching what happens to them. It is to put them through on a reasonable or with reasonable limit with regard to rates, so we can assess any problems as they may come up from time to time in that process. So please don't suggest that don't think that if we do it as a single batch that suddenly we're going to dump 1,000 in the year and there's going to be equality. There will be trickled into the route during the course of that year. And the figures that our chairman gave was if we assume, and I don't know the exact number either, 250 business days in a year, that would mean that we're looking at approximately 4 per business day, or we may go into slightly bigger numbers of 10 at most, but we wouldn't like to see significant numbers going in to the route at any one time, because it could cause a stability issue that your capitals are equally concerned about. I'd like to go back as to what we need from the GAC, which is your letter led us to certain suggestions or into certain beliefs, but it would be very helpful for us in deciding whether we can start the process as a single batch and then use the natural speed bumps through the process to rate limit. And that is, would you prefer to give your early warning in a single batch as well? That certainly would help us. If you turn around to us and say, no, we want to give it in 5 batches, that's going to be very useful for us to know in terms of how we design the process. But if you can say, we'll do early warning all at the same time, and this is the date, then let's start with that, and let's work it into the process so we can make sure that everything works as a combination together.
Thank you, Mike. And Shireen did reference the letter of advice that we provided to the board earlier, and I think there is a sufficient degree of clarity there about the direction in which that the GAC is moving on early warning and related issues. So at this time, we're running past the allotted time, and I do not have additional requests for the floor. Netherlands, did you?
Yes, I thought I already requested it, but okay, maybe there was a miscommunication. Thank you. No, I just wanted to touch, many colleagues have already touched the issues which are at stake now. One issue which I would like to touch is about the decision of having digital archery, and I think this, to me, it illustrates a flaw in the sense that if we have an ETRT recommendations and working hard on it, on implementation of these recommendations, which basically, the sense of that is that the board is sensitive for public policy issues, public policy implications, and still in end of March there's a decision made without consultation of digital archery, which to me, and maybe we saw it too late, but of course we are not expert on digital archery, in which you see that this decision has really public policy implications. It has perhaps unintended effects on competition, on fairness, and to me this is something which I really urge that this is kind of a learning point taken on board, that this decision should not have been made as a kind of operational issue in a board meeting without consultation. So that's one concern, and I think I refer also to my Brazilian colleague. This doesn't illustrate something which we can use to defend this model. We, of course, everybody here in this room is defending the model. We are defending the model back home. And we can only defend it if we see some kind of sensitivity from the board for public policy and public interest. And the second point is, I think, on the batching. Of course, I think many of us in the GAC already agreed before that having no batch will really circumvent many, many, many problems of competition, problems of fairness, and also problems we even cannot anticipate, because if you're in the fourth batch, you can maybe sue, let's say, ICANN or the program because of certain aspects which were not seen at. So I really would urge to look for. Now that we know the taxonomy, I think many also refer to this, we know exactly what kind of categories we have now. If I can and the expert look very closely at the taxonomy and the kind of applications, maybe it's possible to have a single start, which in the end, as I as Chris explained, of course it will be, depending on the lead times of every application, it will be successfully put in the route. But start, let's say, with one starting point. Thank you.
Thank you, Netherlands. I believe Shireen would like to respond to that. Then I have Switzerland, and then I will move to close the speaking list and the session. Shireen.
Thank you very much. I think what you say makes a lot of sense. And now, specifically, that we know information we did not know a year ago. We know the list. We know the numbers. It makes sense to have a level playing field from where you start. And we hear everybody talking about the single batch. We hear how this can ease a lot of problems. So we heard you, and we don't necessarily disagree with you. So
thank you, Shireen. Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to join Brazil, the UK, and others who expressed their concerns about the performance of this program, of this process, knowing that I, as they happen to represent my country in the UN, where we discuss issues like enhanced cooperation and the usefulness or not of multi-stakeholder or maybe better private sector leadership in internet governance. And the new GTLD program is a window of opportunity that could prove that this model is actually working better than other models who are proposed as alternatives to this one. And therefore, we have mentioned several times in the past years how important it is for the legitimacy of this model to act in the global public interest. And with the new GTLDs, that means to allow for at least something like a reasonable distribution of new GTLDs around the world. The result is not really, so far, that satisfactory, I would say. I will not recall that we made some proposals about creating different categories with different financial schemes, maybe for weaker, financially weaker stakeholders. Maybe the applicant support program came slightly late, and there would be other reasons for why we are at where we are. I think that's now history. We have to try and be better very quickly and perform better. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to defend that model in other international fora. That was my first comment. With regard to the batching and the process, I'm very grateful for Chris to explaining to us, and this is the first time, at least me personally, I have heard something about the processing and how that actually works and how much time that might need. Because when we talk about whether there's a need for batching or not, my first question would be, well, what is the actual time span between batch 1 and batch 4? Are we talking of a month, 2 months, half a year, 1 year, 2 years? Because if the time span is actually quite short and the whole process and the rate limits are kind of weakening the problem anyway, then why don't we just do whatever we want and start the process, and it doesn't really matter whether we use the digital archery process or not. But if the time span between the batches is very long, then that will probably matter, and we have to really find a way that is just and fair to all competitors in this new thing. And at least, maybe I missed it, but at least me, I haven't heard any indication of the time that would be put between several batches, because for us that is a fundamental question, I think. If possible, we would also prefer no batch, but doing everything at once with the rate limits and the national delays that will occur. if there are batches, the time the difference is time distance is something that's really important. And then allow me one last remark, which is about something that we will be confronted all probably, and I just want to flag you the issue. There are several applications for generic terms, things like food, health, kids, and so on and so forth, by one company who is a competitor in a market that is somehow linked to these generic terms. And we think that raises issues of public interest if you have one company who gets something like kits, which is probably the most sensitive ones of these. We should, the GAC, but also ICANN, and those who will then decide on how to deal with these things, we should in the next few months get a clear vision on what is the public interest or what is at stake or are there risks for the public interest and how should we deal with generic terms and private competitors in a market that might create monopolies or might have effects that we do not yet foresee. But I think this is an important issue that I urge everybody to think about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Switzerland. So with that, I think we can move to close this session. A sincere thank you to our board colleagues and our GTLD committee colleagues for meeting with us today. We do appreciate it, and we appreciate your coming to listen and to try to answer our questions. For the GAC, a few announcements. We have our Board GAC cocktail following this meeting, so I hope we will take a moment to talk informally with our board colleagues. I think it's an important way for us as well to have communications with our colleagues. And to my right, you will see the incoming CEO, Fadi Chahadeh, in between Ray Polzak and Sweden. And he's going to be joining us at the cocktail, so you may wish to say hello to the new CEO. Other announcements tomorrow in the morning. Remember, law enforcement has a series of meetings in the morning that we are invited to. Also, at the end of the day, we are invited to a meeting with the Country Code Name Supporting Organization to do some outreach about country codes, and those in particular that do not have a country code participating in the CCNSO are invited to be there. I will be there. So please do attend if you can. Have a good evening.
And on behalf of the ICANN board, thank you all. This was a very contentful and direct exchange, and I think it was very helpful. Thank you.